Hi there, and welcome everyone to Awareness, the podcast fostering a more compassionate, empathetic, and accepting society. Yours truly, Rob Daniels, with you here for episode number 22. So jacked for this one because we're into baseball mode here. Baseball mode huge. Whether it's the IBL, the Intercounty Baseball League, Major League Baseball, college baseball. It's just so exciting because you got college baseball starting up and you've got playoffs for MLB and such. So it's going to be a great baseball chat that I hope you hang around here for today. If you're a big baseball fan, you're not going to want to miss this. If you're a big fan of mental health, you're not going to want to miss this because it's correlating the two subjects, baseball and mental health. So we're here for episode number 22. And my very special guest today is 18-year-old Canadian baseball standout, Austin Boylan. And he recently has headed out to south of the border to North Dakota State University on a baseball scholarship. So it's a huge step for any athlete, of course. And for Austin, it's the next chapter in a journey that started right here at home on Canadian soil. So we're going to talk about his path to this point from his early days in the sport to playing with the Barrie BayCats this summer and overcoming injuries and now preparing for life as an NCAA athlete. Austin, thanks so much for joining me and congratulations on this incredible opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're just 18 years old and Canadian born. You're at North Dakota State University on this baseball scholarship. It reminds me a lot of myself from like, I feel like I'm interviewing myself almost like from 20 years ago or so, because I never made it as far as you did, but I was in the NAIA at 18. Yep. And that's a separate college league in the U.S. for anyone. Yep. Listening and is not sure what that is. That's the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. Did I get that right? Maybe you can.
I believe so. Yeah.
National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. NCAA is the National Collegiate Athletic Association. So this is a huge milestone for you with your story. What does it mean to you exactly to head to the United States to play ball and continue your studies?
It means a lot. I've put in a lot of hard work over the years. It also means a lot because a lot of kids dream of an opportunity like this, especially from Canada. Unfortunately, opportunities are limited. But yeah, it feels good. I put in the time, put in the effort and stuff like that. It just feels good that I kind of, you know, achieved the dream. But obviously, the dream's just beginning, right? It's just beginning. There's still a lot more work to do. Because it's just my first fall here. A lot more work to do, and the main goal is Major League Baseball, but it's pretty cool to achieve the first step. So
for sure. I mean, was this always the goal for you, or did it become real more recently?
Yeah, no, the goal ever since I started this journey back in Minden, Ontario, was go to Division One, go to the highest level of collegiate athletics there is. That was always the goal. You know, as I started to develop, as I started to get better throughout the years with the Ontario Blue Jays, then it started to become more real. And then it was kind of not the dream, I guess, right? Not fixated on the dream. Now I was more fixated on finding a home and finding a university and finding a coaching staff that really cares, has a great player development system. So that's kind of how it shifted. But back to that main question. Yeah, just grateful for the opportunity, obviously. So,
for sure. And I mean, you've got your friends and family, of course, back home in Ontario, all supporting you. How did they initially react when you got the news of this D1 scholarship?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. Basically, I just got back from a long trip in the States. You know, I've been talking to Coach Hunt, which is my coach here at North Dakota State University. He's the one who recruited me. So this was about a year ago now, a year and a half ago now. I was with the Ontario Blue Jays, so just playing throughout the States, just trying to get my name back out there on the map. Unfortunately, I tore my ACL the year prior. So recruiting was halted. So the main goal in my 17U season was just, you know, try ball out as best as I can, kind of show everything and kind of show all my skills to all the new coaches, because kind of what happened was I had about four schools on me pre-injury. And then after the injury, they just all went away, right? Because
they all dropped.
They all dropped, gone. So it was about just, you know, grinding back, making sure I'm healthy. But yeah, when I got the offer, my family was ecstatic. You know, we took a day or two, look over the contract, look over everything, you know, all that type of stuff. But no, my family's ecstatic for me, and you know, I'm happy, and it's a great fit. It's a great fit here, and I'm loving it so far. So
I'm so happy to hear that. And we'll touch on your injury a little more coming up here in this episode. In regards to your academics, though, can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, what program are you planning to take there? Yep. Or what are you enrolled in already?
Yeah. So what I'm enrolled in right now is I'm going to go for a undergraduate degree in sports management. Okay. But I'm also doing a minor in psychology. So I'm going to kind of hit two birds with one stone while I'm here. And then that just opens up multiple opportunities in the sports world, but also opportunities in the psychological kind of world of things with athletes, because I believe a lot in that. So that's kind of what I'm studying here and what I'm focused on. Got a few classes right now.
You see yourself working in that field after baseball type thing, psychology or... excuse me, what was the other one again? If
you could just sports management, so like up in the office, agent stuff like that. So anything associated with sports, that's kind of what I'm after, right? So so if I don't make it, that's my backup plan. So
and is your skipper like very adamant about like gotta get good grades to focus on the academics and baseball, that he wants you to do just as well in the classroom?
But do you mean the coaches?
Yeah, coaching staff.
Yeah, no, 100%. So here we have a lot of people helping student athletes. School's big with student athletes. They help us out a ton. I'm just starting to get a taste of it. I've only been here about 2 weeks, week and a half. So everything's here for us. Obviously, the number one thing is student athlete. You got to be a student first. For any kids listening, stuff like that, you got to be a student first. You got to prioritize academics, especially in high school, if you're looking to go post-secondary. We need to maintain, I forget what it is, but I think it's like 2.3 GPA, which you obviously want to aim higher than that, right? You want to aim higher than that. We have a cool thing here that kind of helps us with tuition. So the higher the grade you get, the more money you get. For this separate award. I'm not too sure if I'm allowed to go into that, but it's pretty cool stuff. So that's kind of what we got going on here. So, but yes, back to that question. Coaches are adamant on going to class, getting good grades, and trying our hardest, right? Like whatever you put on the field, you should be putting in the classroom as well. So we've had numerous team meetings about that, and just starting to see it now. So.
I remember when I was in school out there, and if you did get a bad grade, the coach would call you up to home plate, and you'd be running poles. So you guys have stuff like that too, like
I'm not too
physical
sure.
Type detentions.
I'm not too sure yet. We've only had about four practices so far. But maybe, definitely, if you're slacking. Then obviously they might run you, do something like that. I think a few of the seniors said we climb this ladder or something and everyone watches you. So I think that's the punishment here. I'm not too sure about that yet, but we'll see. So
any freshman initiations yet? Not quite. There's been a few. Don't want to go down that road. No, we'll keep it.
Nothing bad, but just getting the kick of things kind of, as a freshman, you got to learn your place in terms of, I'm going to speak on the field, right? You got to respect everybody. You got to work hard, right? As soon as you arrive on campus, it's a clean slate. So nothing you did in high school, nothing you did over the summer with your summer ball team matters because it's a new slate, right? So
turn the page.
The opportunity for a freshman is the same as the opportunity for the senior, right? So,
right.
So yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning. How did Austin Boylan first get into baseball, and what made you fall in love with the game?
Yeah, so kind of a funny story. I grew up in rural Minden, Ontario. That's about, I don't know, 5,000 people, roughly. And no baseball. So there's no such thing as like a baseball team there. They had like Minden Miners, like whatever, like soft toss baseball or whatever. I don't know. It was just like a local league. So basically, I was a big hockey guy growing up. I wanted to go to the OHL. I wanted to pursue a major junior hockey career. That was the goal. But then COVID kind of came, and I also broke my jaw at the same time. So I broke my jaw in hockey, took a brutal hit. And then COVID came, right? So obviously that shut down the rinks, that shut down everything. So yeah, in 2020, I kind of got bored. Always liked to play baseball. Like I would always like bug my mom, bug my dad. Hey, let's go play catch. Let's go play catch. You know what I'm saying? Like I was just kind of an athlete like that. Right. So anyways, we bought a net. Actually, we didn't even buy a net at the start. My mom would set up a hockey net to protect herself from me hitting her. And she would soft toss me, feed me balls, and I would just hit him into this big open net that we set up in our tarp garage. And that's kind of where it started. So I started just training for no reason, really. D1, like post-grad, like nothing was on my mind. I was just having fun playing the game, right? And that's where it starts. So whatever, started training and started to realize, hey, I'm getting kind of good at this, right? I got a kind of powerful swing, you know?
Well, you got good real quick, because to get to the NCAA level since the COVID era, like not too long ago, like four or 5 years ago, right?
Exactly.
That's incredible that you've been scouted like this, and you should really be proud of yourself for that. Yeah. That you shot up so quickly there for NCAA baseball, just out of a whim like that.
Yeah.
So, do you remember then? It's recent, so I would imagine you do. But a memory that sticks out of your very first game, a big moment maybe a few years back?
Yeah, so probably my first ever home run. So I didn't really play in like a league. Like I said, I just kind of played in county. So like basically I sent in, this is back to 2020 again, the Team Ontario Astros, that's the team I first started with in the Canadian Premier Baseball League. So basically they had virtual tryouts. So basically you send your videos in and they evaluate it, whatever. So I was like, hey, and this was in COVID. So I was like, hey, why not? So I didn't even tell my parents. I just sent a video in and I just sent it in, right? See what happens. Well, general manager gets back to me. Hey, we want to sign you. Oh, geez. Okay. How do I tell my parents about this? So I tell them, they're like, that's a great opportunity. I started with the Team Ontario Astros in Vaughan, Ontario. Mm-hmm. And yeah, kind of just grinded from there. Then a year later, I joined the Ontario Blue Jays, and I've only been playing baseball for about four years now. So that's all I got. But the biggest moment would probably be my first career. I mean, I got two kind of big moments now. Honestly, three. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to share three? Because sure, I don't think there's ever like one moment. So obviously my first Canadian Premier Baseball League home run, that was in 14U. So that was my one big one. Another one was hitting a grand slam to send my team to the semifinals in a big tournament in Boston. So I did that last year with the Ontario Blue Jays. So that was pretty cool. And then obviously my first IBL home run this year as well with the IBL Baycats. So that was a pretty big milestone as well.
I remember that. I think that was in Kitchener, right?
Yeah, that was in Kitchener, and I got all of it. That was probably one of the best hit balls I hit all year. So, yeah.
Yeah, incredible. What about players or coaches when you first started going back 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Were there any players or coaches you really looked up to back then?
Yeah, definitely Corey Eckstein. That was a big coach of mine at Ontario Blue Jays. He was a guy I looked up to, still look up to today. I'd say that's probably the main one. Obviously, he was there for me throughout my injury. I'd say probably Corey Eckstein. So shout out goes to him with the Ontario Blue Jays, because if it wasn't for them, honestly, I probably wouldn't be here. Obviously, it takes hard work, but it also takes someone that believes in you and someone that sees, you know, sees what others kind of don't see. And with this day and age in baseball, there's a big thing about projectability, right? Like in terms of like if you're 6'2", but only like 160 pounds, you're still projectable and a college will take you over a guy who is only like 5'8", but already filled out. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no projection. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. That's only like a ceiling. And, you know, for example, there's guys like Jose Altuve in the MLB, right?
Yeah.
About how you play, about how you approach the game and your work ethic. So, yeah.
Yeah. So can you why don't you walk us through a little bit of the process, or if you can, the whole process of getting discovered in the NCAA for baseball in 2025? Like, how did North Dakota State first discover you?
Yeah, so recruiting is obviously different in Canada. So basically, you gotta get down to the States somehow, right? We only really have one big recruiting event in Canada that's called the Canadian Future Showcase. I was lucky to represent myself and, you know, my team, Ontario Blue Jays, there twice in a row. So that was pretty cool. But basically, as Canadians, we have to go down there. So where it started with North Dakota was I was at a tournament in Indiana, and this was right when I came back, like first week after I came back from injury. So basically it started from there. I did pretty well in that tournament. Our team won the whole thing as well. So that's kind of where it started. And Coach Hunt saw me, you know, gave me a follow on Twitter, whatever, and just started kind of tracking my process, my progress throughout the season. And then whatever kind of just kept showing up, kept hitting, kept doing all the right things, work ethic, all that type of stuff. And then basically kind of, I think what did it was my tournament in Boston. I think in that tournament, I hit about 3 home runs, about 450 in the tournament, about like 13 RBIs, like did really well. That's probably the best tournament I've ever hit as well. Like I said, I think I had about 7 extra base hits. So did well there. And then as the summer progressed, just kept showing up, doing all the right things. And then basically we jumped on a Zoom call like we're doing right now. They gave me a quick little virtual tour of campus, stuff like that, what they do. And then basically the next day they offered me. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, like, I just think that what you're doing out there is fascinating at such a young age. And you know, when you were discovered back in Indiana and the other tournament you had mentioned, was that with the Ontario Blue Jays though? Was that Ontario
Blue Jays? That was with the Ontario Blue Jays. Yeah, both of those tournaments were with the Ontario Blue Jays.
So what was your like reaction when you first heard from North Dakota State? Were they like the first school to really jump after you?
No. I had multiple schools from different levels across collegiate sports, a few NAIAs, a few JUCOs, stuff like that. Also a few other D1s.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not going to say their names or anything like that, but yeah, like North Dakota, the thing about North Dakota is that they showed the most care and the most interest. So at the end of the day, that's what matters more kind of than any other thing. So Coach Hunt was, every week we were checking in, having a phone call. And I think the biggest thing was we didn't just talk about baseball, stats, stuff like that. He asked me, like, how are you doing? Like, how'd you do? How'd you, you know, tackle adversity? And I told him straight out. So there's one game in Boston. So like I said, I hit 450, but what happened to the other points? So this one day I went 0 for 5 in one day. I had like 2 Ks, 2 ground balls, like ground outs, and like a fly ball that was hit decently hard. So I'm like, geez, what happened? Like the 2 days prior, I just went yard three times. You know what I'm saying? I just cashed in eight runs. What happened? Right. So basically we talked about that and just like, I came back the next day, showed up, and you know, that's what it takes. We've had numerous team meetings, and with North Dakota State, that's why it's so special here, is because like a Bison can handle adversity. What they like to tell us and what kind of hyped us up the other day was basically they said, there's only one animal in the world that doesn't run away from a storm and charges through it, and that's a Bison. Yeah. So basically, as a Bison, you got to be built tough, and that's kind of what they focused on. So I would definitely say that's why I was driven here, was A, I haven't had it easy from the start, right? Coming from a rural, rural place with no baseball, right? Mm-hmm. Tearing my ACL, we'll get into that, and a few other roadblocks along the way, but like it's not meant to be easy, right? So that's why I came here, and that's why, the biggest thing was just them caring, and really showing interest, amongst other things like the athletic facilities, what the school believes in, the football, our out of conference schedule, which is really great this year. I'm not allowed to share, obviously. Until it comes out on.
Oh, I can't wait till that comes out, because I love college baseball. Yeah. And
I'm gonna leave you on a cliffhanger. It's gonna be everywhere. It's gonna be pretty cool, and I'll get to play one of my kind of dream schools. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, for sure. So this summer, though, you from how I know you is through the Barry Baycats and the Intercounty Baseball League, and you played several games there this summer. I mean, summer of 2025, you suited up for both the Barry Baycats U22 and the IBL team. So how would you describe that experience, and any highlights or moments that stand out from the season to you? I mean, obviously that home run in Kitchener. Was there anything else?
Probably my first hit, my first double. That was in front of my hometown, like the hometown crowd in Barry. They gave me a warm welcome the whole time. Fan base is great. That's a big reason why I signed there. Because like I grew up as a kid as well. When I moved to Barry to pursue this baseball dream with the Ontario Blue Jays, I also grew up watching the Baycats. Right, I knew Ryan Rio, I knew all those guys, I knew Josh Matlow. So it's pretty cool to suit up for them and just kind of play at home this past summer and work on the stuff I need to do. And the biggest part was, you know, play with men, you know, kind of get, what am I trying to say? Basically, like in the IBL, playing with older competition, that's what I'm going to be doing here, down here, right? So we're playing with 20, 25-year-old, even 24-year-old men, right? And I'm only just turned 19. But like that was the biggest thing. So definitely for me, this summer would be probably home run and probably my first double. I thought it was gone off the bat that game, but unfortunately, wind kept it in. But I guess I just need a few more reps in the weight room. I don't know, but
So let's correct that. Hold on, you're because 18 is when I was doing the research on you, but I didn't get your full birthday. I'm like 18. So when did you turn 19?
Just in June. Just in June. We were in Chatham.
Okay, June.
Yeah, that was when we were in Chatham, Kent. So I just turned it in June, but
all right. So this summer, because I remember your dad telling me you were 18, like at the start of the summer or when you first met you in the spring. Yep. So yep. 19. Well, happy belated birthday there to Austin Boylan. So, I mean, the balancing act is obviously difficult. I would imagine so with the you know, you have North Dakota State on the horizon, and then you've got the two teams, the IBL and the U22. So how was it for you balancing two teams and the travel that came with it?
I mean, the travel was fine because I've done that already, with the Ontario Blue Jays. So that's a good thing about kind of having to drive far and being that far. And that's just going to be another good thing to experience as well, because with NDSU, nothing's given to us easy due to where we are on the map. So this year I counted, we have like 40 road games and 15 home games. That's what we have. So we've got a lot of travel. So I'd say I managed it pretty well this summer. It was a lot of baseball, but it was a lot of good baseball to get myself right and get the reps that I needed to get this summer to be prepared for this fall. So, yeah.
That's good. That's good. And this journey of yours, of course, it hasn't come without challenges. You know, this is the part where I'm, you know, when you intertwine baseball and mental health, and I mean, a lot of the times people don't know the extent it takes to come back from an injury, the resiliency you need. Yeah. And, you know, a player that comes to mind is, you know, since I'm such a Blue Jays fan, is Shane Bieber, who, you know, just caught on with the Blue Jays here in this stretch of baseball and MLB, hoping for, you know, a great playoff run. And he was out for like a year, a major surgery, and he comes back and shuts the door. But people just think, yeah, you know, he may have just had a great start and a good, and let's hope he continues to do well. But to just come back from that is something to say. And you have a similar story to that, battling through a significant injury along the way. So let's create awareness on that, on how difficult it is to stay resilient, maybe what you've gone through. Can you share how this setback affected you mentally and how you worked your way back?
Yeah, so mentally, it just tests. So a player that kind of comes to mind for me is Ronald Acuña Jr. for the Atlanta Braves. He was a guy that I looked up to during my rehab, because he just tore his first ACL at that time. Unfortunately, since then, he's tore a second one. Pained me to see that. Yeah, that was the guy I looked up to. And it just the resilience as an athlete, like, especially, let's dive into baseball. It is one of the hardest sports on earth mentally, right? It is. I'd say it is 100%. Because everything's kind of almost dependent on you, right? Stats, you got stats, you got fans, you got all that type of stuff, right? But yeah, baseball is one of the hardest sports mentally, but plus, like, having to battle through an injury as well and come back from that injury, you know, like, when you're on top of the world and then bang, takes it away right away. Like I said, I had numerous schools on me pre-injury, and then it just felt like everything went away. I was gone. I felt like I didn't have an identity, right? Because basically my world was baseball. Well, is baseball. But it's just tough, right? Let's dive more into that. And yeah.
It was the ACL, right? That you...
Yep. Anterior cruciate ligament in my left knee, yes. So I tore that, and then I got ACL reconstructive surgery. So
how long did it take to rehab to come back?
It took me about 9 months. 9 months of rehab, continuous rehab, about 4 or 5 days a week. It also needs to be more than, like, you have to be in the gym, honestly, 7 days a week. Whether it's doing stretches, whether it's doing weights, like, just it was a brutal process, I'll be honest with you. But there was physical pain, but there was... the mental pain was honestly worse than the physical. So,
yeah, the anguish of, you know, you're wondering what's going on with your future and such, and the uncertainty. So, like, teammates, coaches, and family, what role did they play in your recovery?
Huge role. Basically, my coaches were there for me throughout it all. My parents played a big role in it as well. Basically, it kind of, for an athlete coming back, you need all the support you can get, and they gave me all that, right? And I battled through it and kind of got through it. So everybody helped me out, the doctors, coaching staff, everything like that. So
did you learn anything about yourself through the process?
Yeah, I learned how resilient I can be. I learned that it takes guts. But then I'd also showed myself that when you put your mind to something, you can actually do it. And I stand by that. I believe in it. And So I learned something about myself that I didn't think I would, and unfortunately had to go through, but kind of took the bull by the horns and just had to deal with it, right? Like the storm was coming, you just got to go through it. So
you got to go through the process, go through the motions.
Yeah.
So finally, for young players dreaming of playing pro ball one day, what advice would you give based on your own experience so far? I mean, I know you're still, yeah, it's NCAA, but like,
the way Swedish sports is turning now, it's almost turning pro with all the NIL or money and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard to keep it amateur these days. That's what my coaching staff was just saying. We just finished our team meeting, but what do you mean? Like biggest advice for like a kid?
Yeah, for young players, let's say dreaming of playing pro ball one day, that are kids, they're maybe in their teenage years, not quite at that showcase stage yet, but they have the dream. What advice are you going to give based on your own experience?
The advice I have for them would be grind in the classroom. Doesn't matter what grade you're in, whether it's grade 6 or grade 12, you got to be in that classroom. Another thing is you got to be a good human first. You got to be a good kid. You got to be respectful, stuff like that. That's a given. Every collegiate school, they'll look at your grades first to make sure you can even get to the school. Then they'll look at you as a person. And then all the way at the bottom, they'll look at your physical abilities. Because at the end of the day, when you go to, like, yes, you have to have the tools and stuff, but they're going to mold you into what they want anyways, right? They're going to see you and they're going to mold you into what they want. So for example, I was a third baseman my whole career. Now I'm left fielder for North Dakota State University, right? Totally different. And then the other thing is just don't be, I lost my train of thought there. Kind of have fun in the game. Like, keep having fun. Don't move too fast. Enjoy it. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the ups. Enjoy the downs. Because you're going to be more downs than ups. I'll be honest with you. It's going to be tough. But at the end of the day, you got to grind through it. You got to put your, horns down, that I like to say. And just kind of take it all in stride. And there's people there for you. You're not alone. That's another big thing. A lot of athletes, they tend to think they're alone in this journey. No, there's a lot of people out there. That would be my three main things would be just grades, be a good human, and grind and just have fun, right?
Some good advice for sure, 100%. Any baseball superstitions that Austin Vaughn has? I mean, there's got to be something. I definitely want to tell you one that happened just recently, but go ahead with yours.
So any baseball superstitions for me, I like to get up, get a good breakfast in, whether that's like, for me, it's like bacon and egg. Growing up, like playing hockey, any day would be bacon and eggs in the morning. On game days. Another big thing is just kind of the way I walk up to the plate, kind of tap the plate, get in my stance, whatever. I do the exact same thing every time. And I'd say that's about it. Another thing is just it's a standard that's a given in baseball. You don't touch the white line. You don't step on it,
Right.
So you hop over it, right? That's a given. And then another thing is just this isn't really a superstition, but kind of what happens between those lines, as soon as you step over that line after the game, it's gone. Whether you went 0-4 or 4-4 with two bombs and two doubles. You got to, as a baseball player, you got to wipe it. That would be actually another kind of thing of advice I would give to youngsters with a dream. Don't worry about stats. Just, like I said, have fun. Don't be too hard on yourself, because that's the kind of crappy thing with baseball, that it can be really mentally challenging, right? So just don't worry about stats. Just grind, have fun. And like I said before, just take it all in stride. So
good stuff. Yeah. So the other night, actually, this is what I did for a baseball superstition. It only became superstitious the day after, but the night the Bayhawks were playing the Leafs there and at Christie Pitts, they were the backs against the wall. If they lost, the season would be over. I don't know if you kept track of it. Yeah, a couple nights ago it happened. So I sent Josh Matlow a text. I go, sending you good vibes for tonight, pal, and like gave the prayer hands and the fist bump sort of thing.
Yep.
And then he like, you know, he gave that the heart at the end of the night when they when they managed to tie the series 2-2.
Yep.
And I sent that at 6 p.m. like on the Tuesday. And yes, and then the next day at 6 p.m. I made sure to send the exact same text when their backs were against the wall.
And they won. I tell them,
superstitious. So with your backs against the wall, two nights in a row, I sent you the same text at the same time, and you guys won both nights. And I'm like, okay, this is this is a thing now. If they get their backs against the wall, I gotta send the text at the same time.
Yeah, but yeah, I know. Dean Samuelson, you gotta do it.
Yeah, I'll have different superstitions for sure. And baseball is a very superstitious sport. But talk about quickly the one habit, or maybe like it's a mindset for you that's helped you the most throughout your career thus far. Habit or mindset?
Dive a little deep, like dive a little deeper, kind of expand on that question a little bit for me.
Like
hitting wise, or like just like traveling.
It could be just with your play on the field, excuse me. So sort of like, is it something like you say to yourself, I'm going to show up to batting practice every single day at this time, or I'm not going to allow myself to get lazy. Yeah. I'm going to show up early to the park before everyone else. The last one to leave is
Gotcha. Yeah. For me, it's about, for me, my thing would be don't take any rep for granted. That's kind of one thing I pride myself on. So every swing I take, it's going to be with a purpose and with an intent to better myself. So that would be one thing every time I arrive to the field, I do. So yeah, I'd say that's a big thing. But the biggest thing I think is mindset. So every time I step up to the plate, I'm looking to do damage. I don't care who's on the mound. I'm going down with a fight. And yeah, just looking to do my job, contribute for the team, whatever team I'm playing for. Just represent myself in a way that I want to be represented. So
Austin, listen, I'm so proud of you. It's been great to have you on Awareness, fostering a more compassionate, empathetic, and accepting society. Your story is certainly a reminder that talent, hard work, and perseverance all have to work together. And you've clearly put in the time on all three. So we certainly wish you nothing but success as you take the field with North Dakota State University, with the Bisons and with the Bison and it's Bisons, right?
Bison. Yeah. So
Bison.
Oh, no, pronounced Bison. Or, yeah.
Excuse me.
It's so not North a Buffalo, Dakota it's State. A Bison. Yeah.
Yeah. A Bison. So the North Dakota State Bison, wish the best for you there and wish you the best in tackling both the academic and athletic challenges ahead. So thank you so much again for joining me, and to everyone listening, keep an eye on this young man, right here, because I think we'll be, hearing his name a lot more in the years to come. So
thank you.
There you go. Austin Boylan, member of the North Dakota State University Bison. And of course, also a member of the Barry Baycats, who are on a playoff run right now. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
And look forward to keeping in touch as your career continues. So all the best. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. This has been another edition of Awareness, the podcast, episode number 22. Thank you so much for listening, watching, wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe. That would certainly mean the world, and get this podcast out to as many people you think that need it, student athletes, young athletes, athletes of all ages, when it comes to mental health, the mental side, and of course the physical we talk about too, but this is certainly an eye-opener. So episode number 22 for producer Mike, my name is Rob Daniels, and we'll see you in the next episode.